time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.
Your girl Dee Dee Legette, aka the Core Queen. We are back with another episode of the Core Queen Podcast, y'all. We have an amazing panel of women on the show tonight. I am so excited to talk to them. So, y'all, please welcome my panel of single moms. We in the building.
Hey, welcome, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, Core Queen. Hey. For those of you who do not know these amazing women, I'm gonna let y'all know who they are. I'm gonna read their bios, and then we're gonna get into these questions. Yes. I need to know some stuff.
Okay. So I'm going to start with the first person on my list on my notes, Chink. Ooh. AKA Chinky or Chinks. She's an experienced professional specializing in low-income housing in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Chink possesses a unique understanding of the community, which she leverages to drive positive change through various initiatives. She is currently studying to obtain her esthetician license. That's a tongue twister. While revitalizing her business venture, Cultural Roots, which focuses on mental healing. Oh, we love that. Oh. Lastly, she is developing a platform to provide Black entrepreneurs in Charlotte with a voice addressing the existing gap in representation within the local community. Welcome, Chinks.
Hey, y'all.
Then we have Trinity McClain, also known as Trent or the Real Nail Goddess. She is a 25 years young, yes, single mom, yes, and entrepreneur. Trinity is a licensed nail technician and the owner of Goddess Studio. Let's go, yes, Trinity. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Then we have my girl, DeSandria. Ooh. From crafting pastries to curating dream spaces, DeSandria has a proven history of creating lasting impressions. A proud mother and family-oriented professional, she channels her passion for connection and attention to detail into real estate, specializing in commercial and luxury residential markets. With warmth, dedication, and exceptional service, DeSandria ensures every client's real estate journey is nothing short of extraordinary. Welcome to the sweetest realtor real estate. Let's go. Then we have, last but definitely not least, Miss Erica, who is a Charlotte, North Carolina native and a single mother of 7 kids and 2 grandchildren that she takes care of. Erica is currently a full-time student, and in her spare time, she likes to cook, bake, write, and go to church. Welcome, Erica.
Yes.
Let's get into it, ladies. Y'all got, listen, y'all out here doing it. You hear me?
Yes.
I don't care what nobody says.
Yes, you guys in a relationship, please let me know.
Period.
Sorry, I'm still
getting
my girls.
Okay, y'all. So I do a lot of social media research. I don't do too much other research. No, I'm joking. So I got a question because I keep hearing this comment, like, and mostly, of course, it's from men.
Do you consider yourselves a single mom or a single woman with kids?
That's a good question.
I mean, I feel like we should all be women first before we are mothers, because that's what we were before we became mothers. So maybe a single woman with kids.
Okay. And see, and I'll give a little context, because I guess their push and pull with that is that women a lot of times call themselves single moms, even when they have help from the dads.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good point of view. I wouldn't necessarily say single woman, but it has nothing to do with, I co-parent with my ex-husband and our 14-year-old daughter. So I would just say woman only because, like, my kid is about to graduate in like 3 years. I had to find something else to do because I only have one. But I wear more hats than just her mom. Although that's a top priority for me, I would say I'm a single woman with kids, with a kid, but it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with my with the co-parent.
Right.
I mean, that's just my take on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you?
So my take is definitely a single mother with kids. I just, that's just how I feel. Single mother with kids. I do have help from the father, so.
Okay.
I just consider myself a single mother with kids.
Okay. That's good. Hey, what about you, Erica?
I'm going to say I am a single mother and I'm disabled, period. The reason why is, well, I have been single for quite some years now, because my focus is made on my kids and my grandkids, because I take care of both of them. I take care of my two grandkids plus my kids, even though my oldest is 23 or whatnot, but I still have to take care of two disabled kids as well. So I have my 23-year-old. He has TBI, psychosis, and you know, he dealt with a tragedy. So when he was 8 or whatnot. Wow. So just living a life, you know, in my past, and you know, over the years I've changed or whatnot, and put my kids into a better position where we came from living out the trenches to living in the suburbs. So you know, I did make a big change for them, and just not for them, for myself too. I had to, you know, choose who to be around, and separate myself from the circle that I used to be in. And, you know, just so my kids, because your kids look at what you do, your kids watch everything you
they
do,
and they hear everything.
Right. So, again, I'm a single mother and just a single parent, because I put my focus all into my kids, especially when you got 5 girls. I have 5 girls.
Jesus!
Yeah. And my granddaughter and my son. It's one, well, my 2 sons is not staying with me, but I got 1 grandson in the home. So it's like literally just all girls. It's 6 girls in the house.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yes.
So yeah, I have a problem with who I bring in my home.
Right.
Yeah, I have a problem who comes to my house. It's because that's their palace. So you know, I respect that. You know, with them being
Girls their peace and their limit. Space.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All girls.
And I am a role model. So look at me.
So tell me, what are some of the challenges that you face as a single mom?
Sometimes financial burdens. You know, it's just you. You know, your kids is, you are all they have at some points. You know, honestly, how I look at it is really reality of, like, when you're logically thinking, when you're a mother, a father, and this is what I preach to young girls, a father or a dad or whoever you have your child with don't gotta be there. But as a mother, you have to be there. You carry that baby for 9 months or however long you carry that child. You give birth and you have to be there. A man can walk out of your life any day, any moment, but you still have to be there for your child.
You mentioned financial. So just a blanket question for everybody. Is any or all of you receiving child support? Did you get
Ma'am.
No.
My journey has just started, but I do. So like I said, my 3 years, but throughout my whole marriage, I felt like I was a single mom. And that's so coming on here, I also had like imposter syndrome because I'm like, how can I sit in front of these women who have, you know, most likely been mothers way before I have been? My son's only two. And, you know, say that I'm a single mom, but I honestly felt that I was a single mom. Yes, he provided financially and, you know, he was there. He was in the military spouse. So he was there, but he wasn't there. So the load of raising the child, and we said we were going to do this together, fell on me.
So that it's interesting that you said that, because we often hear marry before you carry. Mm-hmm. So you are like a living witness of, I did.
Right.
And I'm still about to be a single mom. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not that I want anybody to not take that advice, but,
you know,
but I just want to show like, there is no blanket mm-hmm. answer. There is no mm-hmm. cookie cutter answer. Like every situation is so different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, don't, and listen, you being young has nothing to do with it. You're going to be an example for the young girls that might be out there and hear your stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what other challenges have y'all faced outside of financial?
Just doing it by myself. Like,
I agree.
My kid's father, even though he's in prison or whatnot, and then my other kid's father just, they out here just like they building their best life. They don't even have any kids, you know. So, but I can't continue on to acknowledge to you guys that hey, you have a child here. I do what I have to do because our kids don't stay small; they grow, you know. So,
fast.
You know, I'm just gonna do what I gotta do as a mother, so they'll know that. This is what I've seen with mom the whole entire time. So, but it's a lot. Just taking care of them by myself and dentist appointments, doctor's appointments.
Emergency room visits.
My oldest son, he's in an adult group home, so I have to make sure he meetings every other day. You know what I mean? Make sure he has $700-$800 a month to be carried up there for him, you know, because it was a low with, I had to make sure he had the care that he needed because I still had all these other kids too. And then at the time, a year ago, I was caring for my grandmother too, which is on my dad's side. So it's like, that was a whole lot that I was really dealing with, you know, but just doing all that, making sure everybody go to basketball practice and dance practice, drills, teams, you know, making sure they want me to show up for every game, but I'm only one person.
Right.
I'm a student. I got to go to school. Mm-hmm. Like all that is a lot. Bills, you know, making sure everybody is clothed, fed, bills, like all that is a lot, you know,
I would say one of my biggest issues was like time, because I'm not gonna lie, even though like I'm from Anderson, a majority of my family's back home, but I have like a really good village here. My best friends are here.
Okay.
They're like godparents, so like the 10% of the time I couldn't make it to my daughter's games, they were there sending videos, pictures. Like I can't sit here and be like, oh, I'm not gonna lie, like my story is I have a lot of help. I have a lot of people who love my daughter. And so they have my back a lot of times, but it is those times where like you're chasing your dreams. Like I recently got my real estate license. Well, it's been a little bit over a year, but like pivoting and switching careers. And before that, I was a pastry chef at my baking business. So it's been a lot of sacrifices that I've had to make, that my daughters had to see me make, that we've had to make together.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been one of the most challenges to me, especially that she's 14. You know, now it's all, you just got to be honest. And I have to tell her, like, we couldn't back because of this.
Yeah.
I'm doing this because of this. This is the bigger picture.
Right.
You know, so time would probably be my most valuable asset, or the thing that I like wish that I could just, you know what I mean? So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
So when she does go off to college, I'm going with her. Like,
right.
I'm going away.
I told my son
she don't even want to be in America. She was like, I'm going to school overseas. And I was like, man, let's go. What might we learn? Because she's so sick of the politics, y'all.
I'm working.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a lot is bothering her right now. You know, I'm going to work it out. ISIS and being deported, a lot of things. So, yeah, like, I think that's my major thing, but I really do pray to God that I'm doing the right thing, making the right decision. Mm-hmm. That way, like, when she is 19, 20, I can just be there, like, what you mean? You right. know what I mean? Because at that time, I feel like I could be more of her friend.
Yeah.
Like, we have a safe space where she can come to me as a friend, but I'm not a friend right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? And they say, like, in parenthood, I listen to another podcast, and it says, your kids, it's three steps. And I know this because it's true, because I had to apologize to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
First, your kids idolize you, then they demonize you, and then they humanize you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, I'm at the stage of demonized.
Like, she does not.
I got ninth right. grade in my heart, and she's like, you don't know anything. You're so old. Like, but that's, I know I'm pivoting it a little bit, but that's like my main thing is really just time with her because, man, I listen to her talk. She's funny, and
right.
I just enjoy it, you know. And then they get older, they don't want to be around you. And I'd be like, give me a hug. Like, oh my God, he just told me 10 minutes ago.
Well, girls change, though. They'll change. They'll come back to wanting to do all that. I have a 28-year-old daughter, so.
And I know you guys are like this, right? Yeah, and so, yeah. I'm waiting for their change.
Yeah, because in teenage years, absolutely not.
I think you need to get an eyelash off her face. She's like, oh, why are you touching me?
Oh, yeah.
My challenge is also to, like you say, we have support. Mm-hmm. I have no support system at all. Like, the support system that I did have, they all passed. My mom, everyone. And my grandmother last year was the last one that was my support system. So now it's like, my daughter, she can be my support system, but she has two as well. She's only 19. She doesn't know. They're 8 months apart.
Yeah. So,
I think for me, it would be like asking for help. That's my problem.
That's my issue. Asking putting my pride to the side. I have people in my corner who are willing to help me, but I'm so strong minded and so.
I got to do it by myself. You're not going to throw it back in my face.
That part.
Yeah.
That pride.
Ego.
Everybody in my family, they have their own, you know, situations going on. So, I'm the baby of all my siblings, both sides, mixed, blended family. So, it's just like to know, like, okay, y'all have y'all situations going on, and how am I just going to come to y'all and be like, well, I got this going on, and I need help with this, I need help with that, I need help. And, you know, are y'all
at the same level? We care too much about their feelings, even though we don't know. Because I was going to ask, have you asked?
No.
It's just my pride because I guess because of the traumatic situations from the past where you reached out and then they throw it in your face. I got to move different now. Right. So now I can't.
I get what you're saying, 100%. But that's more of like the character of the person, you know what I mean? Because people in your corner, and I feel like I had in my corner, they always tell me all the time, why you didn't ask? I struggle till I can't no more. Like, I will get it out the mud when I say I get it out the mud, and the thing is, I don't know, and it's something that I am trying to, and I have been working on that. I really have, like, just ask, and it is hard. And the thing about it is, it's easy to preach these things because I'm strong with mental health. Like, that's my asset to people, especially for our Black community, is mental health, like conquering mental health. But for me, it's hard to practice what I preach because I just have this pride in this, and I guess it is a traumatic response. Like, it's something that my mental has developed where I'm trying to break through that, though. I really am. But it's just so hard for me to ask because I've been in these situations more than once where it has been thrown up in my face.
Yeah.
Even though I have done for them. But it's like, I just.
Those people you got cut off.
Yes. And I have. And I'm known as the cutoff queen. I am the cutoff block queen.
Mental health is real.
Definitely is.
It was just such a coincidence that I had got I had, you know, someone reached out to me about your show and last week, you know, I had a incident where I was going through a lot, you know what I mean? And then, you know, you get told all the time that you a strong woman. Oh, my God.
I'm tired of being strong.
You are so strong. It was just, out of all these 23 years, I've been so strong. And it was just like one day, the whole, like, life started crashing on me, you know. And a couple weeks ago, I did a failed suicide. You know, so I just want to tell, but I want to tell parents, you know, single mothers that that don't have anybody involved, like, find a coping skill, you know, whether if it's praying or talk to somebody, because for a long time I said, I smiled and I was so busy preparing for everybody else to come talk to me and me, you know, talking to them, to me not noticing that
you needed the help.
I needed the help myself.
Right.
You know, so I intend to hide the sadness and, you know, whatnot.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Everything's okay.
Like, oh my God, you got a beautiful smile. You were always smiling, but not knowing, they don't know what was behind that. You know?
Right.
So I just tell young teens, mothers, single mothers, you know, no matter age or whatnot of single mothers, like, taking a deep breath, find coping skills. You need to talk to somebody when you get to that point. Call somebody, you know. Don't keep fighting.
And you have to have an outlet, a positive outlet.
Yes.
And we do have friends, a set of friends, but those friends are not meant to speak on certain levels of certain, when it comes to certain things. Mm-hmm. Like, you have friends for certain things. All your friends is not meant to speak to them on certain levels and certain things that you have going on in your life. You got to find that right person that you can trust, someone that you can honestly trust with your life.
Right.
To really open up to
help.
Can I take a pause for a second? Because I just want, I don't want you to just skim over what you just said.
Right.
Because that really, really, really means a lot. And I want you to know that I don't know you like that, but you are needed. You are necessary. You're appreciated. And don't let anybody ever try to make you feel like you're not.
Right.
And please keep fighting.
Yeah.
Please keep fighting.
You know, I just, at that moment, I let life beat me up, that, you know, but, you know, I just intend that just that particular day, I lost faith. And that's what you cannot do. You got to keep pushing. You got to have faith. And you got to stay prayed up and at all times, acknowledge Jesus and God. If you have a connection with Him, if you believe in Him, make sure you have that connection. You know, talk to Him. Get in the corner. Get in the room by yourself.
In the bathroom, if you have to.
And get some praying friends.
Praying for you and not against you.
Don't be antagonizing you and, you know, oh well, you know. I mean, you know, you get a lot of negativity.
This is a decision you made.
They don't understand the mindset. I'm big on the health, mental health.
Yeah.
Big on the mental health. And it is something that I just hate to see it on social media, how they just break people down, period, who are dealing with mental issues wanting to even think about committing suicide. You don't know my mind. Like, they feel like when you're in that mindset that you're thinking about your kids, you're thinking about, we are not thinking about our kids.
Why would
mindset.
You get to that point?
You are not thinking about your kids. You're not thinking about your bills. It's absolutely nothing that you're thinking about that's important. What you're thinking about is what I am actually going through in myself. And they say, oh, you're selfish because you think that way, or you're selfish because the person that actually committed it, they're selfish. No, they're not. No, they are not. You don't know their mindset. You don't know what's going in their mind. You are not their soul. You're not in their body. You don't know the traumatics that they went through. You don't know the exposure or the things that they were exposed to. And that's why I'm so big on
especially
mental health.
I ain't gonna say that men too, but in the Black community, like, we go through very traumatic things and then move on like it never happened.
We
even talk about them. Like, it's just the norm. Like, oh, that just happened to me. Like, that's pretty major. And it's just been so normalized in our community that we really just talk about trauma like it's just
a joke.
Cereal.
Yeah.
Right. It's
not taken serious. And a lot of people run from it.
And that's why we are so, like, in competition or at war with each other. Because we all are just so broken. Yeah. And we can't figure out how, but I don't know how to love me, how to love you. Like, I'm gonna fix that sometimes. Yeah.
And that's why so many broken relationships and broken marriages in the Black community, because we don't talk about things and we sweep things under the rug. And then a lot of Black men and unfortunately a lot of Black men just don't believe in mental health. They just be like, oh no, I don't gotta talk to nobody.
Yeah,
I'd rather talk to a stranger than to talk to somebody I know who knows my
business.
Yeah.
The stranger don't, if they talk about me, I ain't gonna care because they don't really know me personally.
Yeah.
It's the ones you know personally that you trust with valuable information that you got to be careful with.
Yeah.
So,
that trauma is also connected to our decisions. How we see something, how we decide to do something.
Right.
It's like an ongoing cycle of making bad decisions. Like, damn, why did I even? Because we've just been conditioned to do it that way.
That's right.
So, but my next question for y'all. Somebody said it earlier too. I think Chink might have said something about social media. Do you believe or have you seen that social media has a negative like connotation towards single moms?
Oh yeah,
but I don't care. You can't tell me nothing. I'm gonna tell you something. I am bad. I am beautiful. Okay, I raised my child. I don't care what social media tell. They don't define me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I tone all that out.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't even in that category. Like
social media.
Oh, you say something, and if you do, you go crazy. You go crazy, right? So I'm speaking for myself. I literally try to thrive in my positive quadrant. Like that's what I see. I don't follow the shade room. I don't follow none of that stuff. I don't follow any negativity or like, because I don't got time for that. That's not where I'm trying to be or where I'm going or where I'm at. So I'm telling you, I don't even know what they saying at this point. I ain't home about 3 years, baby. Okay. All right. I don't know what they saying, but if it's negative, you know, I'm not saying two things can be true. You know what I'm saying? It can be true. I know that it's a lot of different things. You know, it's hard being a single mom, know, or a single woman with a kid. It's hard. But do I let the world of social media define that or tell me what I am or what I deserve because I got it? I won't do it.
Mothers who have 10 kids and got married. So I don't let these men who've been hurt and big hurt
and raised by their single mother.
The main ones who talk so badly about these women with all these kids be the main ones in my inbox. I'm gonna just say that.
Period. Ooh. Okay. I don't accept DMs, so don't go look at my social media. I don't accept DMs, okay? You gotta catch me in real life. But it do be the main ones like that. You know, and it's so crazy because it's a trauma response for them too.
It
really is. Because they're looking for their mama. They still grown boys, and then they need someone to care for them. And so they look for a nurturing woman, you know, because we do it all day, every day.
You would think that they would look for a single mom.
You would think, like, you know, but it's, you know, but that whole thing is more of a, it's a mindset.
A lot of stuff is very, like, traumatic responses, like, mechanisms, like, traumatic mechanisms.
I feel like that's really because we don't know how to heal from our childhood trauma. No one has taught us to do that.
We have childhood trauma. We have teenage trauma. We have young adult trauma. Then we have adult trauma. We have friend trauma, relationship trauma, parent trauma. I mean, we could go on and on. And it's very, very strong. And I'm not going to say just in the Black community, because we have other
cultures
and races and things that still... What we don't know is they go through a lot. Like, so honestly, it's just traumatic responses that we just have not grown from or acknowledged or questioned or tried to seek help for and things like that. And that's why I'm so big on mental health, especially with the Black community, because I feel like the Black community, we just be like, whatever, we sweep it under the rug a lot. And that's not how we move forward in life. You got to grow from that. You got to acknowledge what is going on. You gotta seek the help that you need or find an outlet.
Get counseling.
It's okay to get help. And a lot of people just like, I don't need no help. It's okay to seek help.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest things is that the Black community is their foundation is the church. Mm-hmm. So that was always their therapy.
Yeah.
But
then when the church causes trauma, what do you do?
And the church isn't like equipped to handle certain mental issues and mental health things.
And a lot of people fail to realize that we are all human. Mm-hmm. Everybody is human. Humans make mistakes. Humans have good intentions. We have bad intentions sometimes, even when we don't know it. We are human. And if people could just realize that everybody is human, I just feel like the world would be a better place, but we just don't.
If people would just take accountability and worry about themselves, look in the mirror, look in the mirror and worry about self. That's the best thing I could ever do. Try to fix me. I can't fix nobody else.
I can't control you.
I can't control you. I don't even want to. Like, I learned that.
It's too much work.
No.
It's too much.
All I do is worry about me. What God showed me so I can figure it out. You know what I mean? So
And we like when we are broken and we're unhealed, we attract unhealed people.
That was my biggest.
And that's another thing. Like that's another reason why I'm single, because it seemed like every time I attract somebody, they a young man.
I like them young. Sorry. My man is young, so.
Me too.
Because sometimes the older guys, they are so traumatized, unhealed too. They're stuck in their ways. Like they said, we're stuck in our ways. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you just got to figure out. I don't think there is no age. Like, it's just your person. You got to find your person.
You
right.
Emotional intelligence, because people
go into things and not actually choosing the person that they want to be with forever. They just like the idea of the person.
The idea.
I think for unhealed people, yes.
Yes, for unhealed people, you love to see. It's like when you see someone, you see the idea of being with them, but you're not really trying to really get to know them.
A lot of people actually fuck their way into relationships.
Yeah, so. Go through the right, proper steps.
The friendship.
They're not vetting. They're vetting. Their vetting process is awful. Oh, is he cute? Is he tall?
Exist. Right. It's not awful. It doesn't exist.
But people don't use it.
It doesn't exist to them.
Right. They just like, he fine. Yeah. He tall. He got money. I need my medium ugly. No, I'm joking. You fine, baby. Fine. You are fine. Fine now. I ain't lying now. He is fine. But. it's like they gotta be six figures and all that, they like a person, and that's it, they skip over the whole getting to know each other stage, and then boom. Like, what's their character like? How were they raised? It's guys that come to me and I
I don't know. I attract crazy men. Like, I don't, it just be, I run. And they be like,
be up,
oh, you weird because you won't even talk to me. No, it's just that.
Well, when you got your boundaries set in place.
Yeah.
That'll weed them out.
My best friend is a life coach.
That'll weed them out.
So he taught me a lot about like just relationships and just life period. And so I learned like accountability and certain things in life. And then it actually helped me grow.
Yeah.
And you know, and then once you start to change who you are inside and out, you will start to attract, and then when you manifest, you will start to attract better people into your life.
I'm just about to say.
And then I think as women, women, we're more mature. We mature very early too.
And very fast.
And fast. So I think, we mature very fast.
Yeah.
Than what men.
And they red flags, the moment you see a flag and they're not doing or they're not basically acknowledging your boundaries or just trying to go over your boundaries, you just cut them off and move on.
Yeah,
right. Bye. You're not the one.
But I think that's one of the trauma responses too for especially Black women with attachment. We get attached to something
and think,
okay, well, I got to make it work. I got to.
You got to see it. If a man is talking and he's not showing no action, you already know this.
I learned my lesson. I found myself that I used to be in toxic relationships. You know what I mean? But it's like the older you get, it's like you become more wiser. Like, you don't have time for any of that anymore. So I don't have time for yelling. I don't have time to be arguing with you. I don't have time for you to be TikTok quick.
And so, see, that's why you get men who know their worth. You get men who are healed. You already went through your healing stage. Come to be healed. Please do not come to me and you're not healed.
I can't. I love my bed.
And it's so
chill
when you at that spot.
She said she
loved.
But guess what? Ain't nobody gonna be in that bed but them kids.
Okay.
Well, I have a controversial question that I keep hearing because, you know, I do. I'm literally on all the blogs, everything, because I have to keep up to date with stuff. So, and there's a statistic out there that says that single dads raise more successful, round, well-rounded children than single moms. What y'all think about that?
I ain't gonna say it's not true. I could definitely see a lot in that because, like, I co-parent and we have two different households. Sometimes our rules are different, but I do appreciate his structure. It's a lot of things that he brings. I'm not a man. I don't think like a man. I can tell my kid. I give her advice. So it's a lot of things that he does that I can't do. And so I don't necessarily know if that if it's because the man is raising them. Maybe it's just good kids that turn out right. I don't know. But what I can say is I do recognize what a man brings to the table that is needed and that I can't bring, I can't give that. So I really work my hardest to try to make the co-parenting relationship work, you know? So, but I it probably is a lot of truth in that. I don't know. I think single dads, they got some type of structure. Shoot. You know what I mean?
It gives them a lot of comments.
Let's see what the comments on YouTube.
You got some, you got some single fathers that they got.
I haven't known a man. Like they keep their kids full time and they're very serious about their children.
You know, do you think it's because they're more logic than they are emotional?
Absolutely.
I'm sure it has a lot to do with that.
Just like you got.
Women are very emotional.
Men are too. It's just called ego.
Yes.
Just like you got men pay child support, women do too.
They do. But I know some single fathers who are great fathers. And I love that for them. Like
I don't know a single dad he is who isn't good. I'm gonna tell you the truth. That's why I know you better not be tripping on me because this man be executive, maybe keeping their babies.
One at a time,
shout out to the single dad.
Oh, God, there's a lot of comments on here. Let's see. We'll start with Ed. He says it's vital for Black women to understand it's not about it's not about what you attract because you're going to attract all kinds of Black men, but your responsibility is who you are giving access to. Absolutely.
That's nice. I like that comment. Yes.
And then he asked a question. He said, what's the difference between you operating from walls versus boundaries?
They got some good
questions. And Marquell Hammond says full-time single dad over here. Shout out Marquell.
Hey Marquell. Get wise.
That's being king, not queen. I'm queen. I meant to say king. I love my Black kings.
Period.
Especially the ones who take care of this. Definitely love them.
But I think when it comes to walls versus boundaries, as Ed was asking, having up a wall, I'm keeping you out of there. I don't want you like over here. You're not even going to find out my boundaries because you ain't coming over here.
I mean, that's the difference between the line. The boundary is the line, and then the wall is literally a wall.
I'm just telling you this is what I will accept, won't accept, and if you cross it, you're out of here. So I'm going to piggyback off the question I just asked, another controversial topic that happens with these unhealed Black men. So they say that single mothers are hurting the Black community.
In some ways, yes.
I believe that.
In some ways, yeah.
I'm a big advocate for my Black kings. I don't know why I want to say queens all the time. Sorry, y'all. I'm a big advocate for my Black kings. You know why? Because I see so much bashing. Oh, God. I mean, men do it too. But I do not like seeing Black women bash Black men so badly. It's like, I know you was hurt. I understand that. But at the same time, you allowed it at certain at a certain point. And I take strong accountability for my actions and what I allowed and what I dealt with for so long. I didn't have to deal with it that long. I chose to deal with it that long. No matter what excuse I have, I still made that decision to stay when I couldn't have left.
So if Black women are hurting, I mean, black women, Lord, single moms are hurting the black community. What are the absent dads doing?
Ooh. I mean, I feel like it goes hand in hand. So the reason I say single moms potentially have the way of hurting the black community is because a lot of times when they're raising boys, they're not raising them to be men.
Yes.
And so they still continue to coddle them when they're grown. So when we get them, it's like we have to help raise them as well. So that's my standpoint on that. Like, raise your boys to be men. Like, and to not need you, to provide, to protect, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To respect women. So I feel like we do hurt the community when we don't raise our sons properly, mm-hmm. and then you send them to us, and it's like we're the enemy now.
Are we equipped to raise boys to be men?
No.
I don't necessarily I feel like there's resources and outlets to that. I feel like there's resources.
You can raise your boy to be the best man that he can be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I have an 18-year-old, and unfortunately he has 2 kids now. And you can raise them the best, but after they get to a certain age, it's like, and they're not taking care of their responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I did the best that I can, because I've been in this situation with, you know, the baby mama, and how does it feel to be raising a deadbeat? Your son a deadbeat? I done been told that with her all the time. But this is my thing: is I took care of my son. I raised him to be the best man he could be. No, his father was not in his life. He was in and out, you know what I mean? But I did my part as a mother.
Yeah. So, and that's all you can do.
They say,
so you're not going to bash me because of the mistakes of that he's making now.
I definitely understand that. That was my point.
A mom's job for boys is 0 to 6. Mm-hmm. From 6 to 14, a dad is supposed to step in and now raise the boy to be a man. Once they turn 14, they start listening to their friends. But the lessons that their parents have taught them between 0 and 14 always stick, because it's embedded in your DNA. Now, if they choose to listen or not, that's up to them. But once they become men, or, you know, 25, the age that their brain develops, you know, they tap into, okay, well, my dad did this when I was growing up. Or, you know, my dad taught me this when I was growing up. So as a man with integrity, or as I was taught, I'm going to do this for me and mine, you know?
Right.
But I feel with the absent fathers, that job is left on the moms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But once they become 6 to 14... And the attitudes start kicking in, and they start wanting to do what they want to do. It's for us, it's just like, you know, well, I guess.
My son has a dad. He's a very active dad. And I definitely wouldn't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
If I talk to your son, I don't speak boy. Right. I don't know how to do this. So the difference in raised my son with his dad and my daughter without a dad, polar opposites. Like, it's a big
My grandmother
difference.
Always used to say, what you mess with is what you get.
Yeah, you lay down with dogs.
When
I got pregnant, and the guy that I, my kid father, like, what you mess with is what you gonna get.
And I am so scared. Because it took me, after having my son, to start actually seeing the things that I did not like. And now it's like, okay, this is half of him. So, you know, how are you going to be able to
be DNA? You can't be DNA, baby.
You're right. You just keep speaking life into them, because eventually, even when they make mistakes, because they have to make, and that's what I had to learn. They have to make mistakes, because I have a 20-year-old, I have an 18-year-old boys. I have all boys and one girl. I have 5 children, all boys and one girl. And my oldest are 20 and 18. And it's just a thing where you just have to keep speaking life into them, because they're going to, even with me, my dad taught me everything about pretty. He was that king. I ain't gonna say what I want to say. He was that king. He definitely taught me about credit, and I was just, whatever. I don't care. I don't want to hear it.
And this was my
mom was a drug addict, you know, but my father taught me what I needed to know, and I did not listen. But as I got older, I realized I should have listened. This man really taught me things that I really needed to know, and he was an asset, and I didn't even recognize it.
Mm. I think that's most kids, though.
I was about to say,
but kids don't listen, but eventually, or mentors, I'm just saying, reach out to other resources.
Like, the mom's not there. Like, a mentorship is important too. Like, tapping other resources. Like, the father may not be there, but it's someone that's going to love your son. Mm-hmm. That's just truly how I feel. I don't date a man if he ain't got a mentor. Like, you got to have somebody who knows somewhere you're trying to be, who's doing better, who can show you better. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's super important. I have one. Like, I think that there's, like, other ways. You know what I mean?
Marquell said, he says, I believe a woman is equipped to raise a man, but she must be balanced in masculine and feminine energy.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Ed says, where does your son get his masculine example from? They are consumed with feminine energy from home to school. It's vital that us Black men be the mentor in our community.
Mm.
Great comment, Ed. Yeah, thank you.
Great.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with you.
What we're experiencing right now, because, you know, minus the little baby over here, in our generation, we most of us were raised in single parent homes. Majority of our friends were. And we're experiencing men who were raised by single moms who are emotionally unregulated. Mm-hmm. Because they were raised by women and they just didn't have that masculine side to figure out. So now we're dating these people. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what is wrong with you? But then you have to realize, like, I know when I was growing up, like, we were poor. Like, we finding a mentor was the last thing my mom mind. She's just trying to go to work and get some food in this house.
Right.
So you got to think from a socioeconomic standpoint. It sounds good to get a mentor, but listen, I got to go to work. You got to figure it out, get in the house, don't open my door, make me something to eat, and I'll be home when I get off work.
I get that too.
And that's a large majority of
it is.
The Black community when you're talking about poor and impoverished areas where most of these men are coming from or being raised by single moms.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's embedded in our DNA, and there's some way we got to figure out how to unravel it because the post-traumatic slave disorder is real. And we are living experience. We're talking about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's been talked about for generation to generation to generation.
Decades.
But what I do see now in this generation, and I actually think it was a study that just came out, that there are more fathers in the home than ever, like in history.
Yeah, I think it's like 72%.
Yeah. So we're doing something right.
We learned some lessons. All of that,
something we're definitely doing right.
Yeah. So my next question for you, ladies, if you, I know you're young, but a younger woman, if she wanted to be married, oh God, your facial expression is like, please don't do it. Okay, she wanted to be married. If she had the option to be married or be a mom, what advice would you give? Because I'm finding that there are a lot of young women who would just rather be a mom and not be a wife at all.
Well, I
want to
be a wife one day.
Okay. That's always the goal. Okay, so with my experience, I actually got pregnant before we got married. Mm. And of course, he was in the military, so it was more so of a financial reason of why we got married. Mm-hmm. It, you know, put our family on a better foundation and we can build from there. I didn't want to be a wife. I was fresh out of my 21st year, you know, I was making a whole bunch of money, just got my nail license. Like, you know, life was good. Life was great. I was at the peak of my career. I wasn't ready to be a wife because I was still trying to figure out how to be a woman. Mm-hmm. And when it happened, you know, I wasn't going to give up my child.
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't want to do it alone. And to have, you know, well, we can do this and this will be beneficial. And then you look back at all the letters from boot camp and, you know, and all the stories that was told and we going to do this and we going to do that. And it's like, okay, well,
it's like there was maybe, that's like jail.
Maybe. Yeah.
It is.
Maybe. But for a younger woman, I would say whatever your heart tells you to do. That's the honest answer.
Well, sometimes
I have.
That heart don't do no with the hell they talking about.
I mean, you also have to have the mind aligned with it as well. But whatever your heart tells you to do, because if I would have followed my first mind, I would have just been a mom.
Mm-hmm.
We could have co-parented until we figured out how to make it work for us, whether we wanted to stay together, whether, you know, we went our separate ways. I would have just been a mama. Because to try to juggle being a mom and a wife all in the same year, I don't wish that on my worst enemy at all.
Wow.
Not at all.
That's real.
That's deep.
That was heavy. Oh God, hold on. We got a comment, y'all. I have a question. This is Josephine Crawford says, if you could have a baby.
The second one.
Huh?
There's two.
I only see one. The first one's, it says message retracted.
Yeah, she
fixed it. If you could have a baby, what would you do in your life?
If you couldn't have a baby.
Mm. Oh, couldn't, Lord.
What would you do in your life?
Start a business.
I'm about to say so many things you can't do.
Ain't stopping.
It ain't stopping today. I'm just doing it with a kid. Yeah. I'm still following my dreams. I'm still doing the things I want to do and being who I want to be.
If I couldn't have a baby.
Look, we know you don't have that part.
That girl has a baby. You think about that life, right? She we'll have more money for sure. I can tell you that right now. Kids are expensive.
I would have been doing a lot of little things. I mean, I already do my little cakes and bake and stuff like that, but I feel like I probably would have hit a whole bunch of bakeries around here somewhere.
Be further ahead in life.
Right.
I would have been able to travel. I've never traveled before. All I've been is from Charlotte, New York, and Washington, D.C.
Wow.
I love D.C.
And, the beaches, Saturday. Of course. But just to travel everywhere, I've never been.
We got to get you traveling.
I was gonna say a woman births more than just one thing. Child is just the physical.
Right.
But whatever mental idea you have always births out, you know?
Absolutely.
There's people with children who went many long ways in life. So children
don't stop me from doing nothing. So Ed says, how can us Black men support you in your healing journey? Ooh. What are two things you feel Black men don't understand about you?
Ooh.
That's good. Come on, Ed, with the question.
You know what y'all don't understand? I'm just talking about what I'm going through right now. All right? Y'all don't understand. When we focus, okay? When we have time, we'll make time. But when you are priorities, when you my man, and then you my fiance, then you my husband, until then, you're not. And I can understand it because I expect the same out of your life. But respect my time, respect my boundaries, and what I'm doing. Unless you're going to put me up in this penthouse, you know, and I ain't got to work and I can pop out some babies, that's fine. But I truly have an issue with these men that are career driven. They have the same ambitions as you do, but they don't respect. You know, it's kind of, I guess, because they're used to women, like, just doing whatever, whenever, like, being a go-girl. So that ain't it, baby. Like, I really need you to respect my time, my focus, my dreams, you know? So I think that's, that's my take.
I'm agree with that.
That our lives don't start because we become the wife and the mom.
Oh, yeah.
That's our emotions don't stop.
Somebody call in?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Rick, can you give us some water? Hey, caller, how you doing? What's your name? What you got?
What's happening? It's your boy, comedian Sauce Got Jokes. What's going on with you?
What's up, Sauce? What's going on?
What's happening, nothing much?
What's wrong? Hold on. You know, Fred over here struggling with the sound. Hold on one second. Sauce is crazy. Oh, my heavens.
Hey, we hear echo. Oh, I can hear my voice twice.
Can we turn him up? All right, go ahead, Sauce.
All right, I got a question for the ladies on the panel, all right? So, of course, I'm single. I'm out here dating women and stuff. I know a lot of ladies have kids. So, at what point, like, how long does it take before you introduce your kids to said man? And what do you expect out of him?
Ooh, that's a good one. Because I don't want nobody to meet my baby that's not in my baby's life. That's not going to be in my life. So I think that comes with vetting. You know what I mean? Dating someone with intentions, like an intentional man. And if a man is intentional, then you already know. But I mean, I would just say at least 6 months is my rule. Because I have a daughter, I have a girl. And I mean, the most important thing to me is her safety. You know, because sometimes you just don't know a person. It takes like, what, a year to 3 years? You don't know someone. So, I mean, that's just the hey, you know, like that ain't you spending time with my kid. That's like, hey, how you doing?
To her room.
Like that ain't even it. You won't see her outside because I don't even need you in her space like that. You know, that's our sanctuary. But I think it's very important to take your time with that. Because like she said, we're role models. They watch what we do.
And I'm single for 4 years. So,
but I think it's important to just wait and take your time with that. And if a man loves you,
you got
multiple
girls.
Okay, cool.
I think
I'm going to go on I had a girl introduce me to her kids, and I only known her for like 3 weeks. I'm like, whoa, wait. I don't want to know them. I only know if I like you for real.
That's a red flag.
That's a red flag.
I don't trust no woman who wants somebody to meet their kid.
She's trying to get you to come over there and spread some of that money.
You want to be the next baby daddy.
She wants you to
sauce.
Be the
She wants the comedian money.
We need the money.
What'd you say?
I got a lot of a little bit of money.
You know what, boy? Two things can be true. He is crazy. Thank you, Sauce, but run from that hole, okay?
Oh yeah, oh, I left in the dust.
Sauce was on the show a couple weeks ago. He is hilarious.
Yes, he's the one that sent me your flyer.
Sauce. My boy.
I think I know one of the girls on the panel. She answered one of my notes on Instagram when I said, "Do your pinky toe got a nail on it or not?" That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, y'all have a good night, ladies.
Oh my goodness. We got another question. Ed says, I'm going to ask this other question. Breaking the Silence podcast with Nikki and Nicole says, what advice would you give to single mothers that are struggling?
I can give a lot of advice.
I'm still learning, so I'm going to sit this one out.
Struggling financially, emotionally, physically, mentally.
I mean, generally speaking, I will say, I don't know what if she's faith-based or not, but I can tell you my foundation comes from God. Because I have to believe in something higher and bigger than myself, because I fail, so I have to make sure that I'm grounded. And I think that plays a big part in how I raise my daughter. We're raising, even though we have kids, we're raising adults. That's how I look at my child. I'm raising her to be a successful adult, to sustain, to be kind to people, loving. So if you're struggling, the first thing is, obviously, good thing is recognizing it, but to talk to someone that you care about, get good advice, pray, journal, meditate, be proactive with it. Because as women, we, like we said, we're so strong. And then next thing you know,
I am one of those strugglers. So I pray, through these 23 years, I pray and I just, for some reason, my body, me asking God every day, Lord, give me the strength. He pushes me every day. What if I'm working I've done work 3 jobs. I don't work from morning to dawn and don't come in the house. My girls be like, Mama, you not tired? I done work first shift, second shift, third shift, come back in. I done did it all. You got to just stay motivated.
And she says struggling. She says struggling overall.
Struggling overall. I always have a positive outlet.
Yeah.
I always find some type of outlet. Yeah. I don't care if you believe in a damn wall.
If that's what's gonna help you get through every day, believe in it. Have faith in it.
Find something you like, and do things that make you happy.
Yeah, you know, feeling down, just like I told my best friend, she was like, I don't like going into the office, I'm so used to working from home. Make yourself up, put some makeup on, fix your hair, go to work, make yourself feel good.
You know what you should do? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
This is one thing that helped me, and I do this right now. I do a gratitude list every morning, so I write down every morning what I'm thankful for, and I don't skip a day. And when I tell you, that sets me up, because we all got issues. Like, everybody sitting here got something they're going through, right? I mean, it could be heavy as hell. I'm telling you right now. But that has truly helped me and put a lot of things in perspective to have joy, because we're not always going to be happy. But joy comes from the Lord. So if you find, and you might repeat that stuff. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm thankful for my mom, my brother. Like, both my brothers have new kidneys. I say that every day because I truly mean it.
But the main key is read a scripture in the Bible. They got where you, it's plenty of scriptures in the Bible for strength.
You're going to make it, you know, sis. You're going to make it, girl. You're going to get you an air hug.
But always put you first. Prioritize you first. Self-love, self-confidence, whatever. Put you first before your kids, before your husband, before your spouse, before anything. Put you first, because if you don't,
you're going to fall off.
Yeah, that's good, y'all. That's some good stuff. Ed says, what's the difference between you dating a man versus courting a man?
I don't court men. Men court me. Ooh. What you saying? Who told you women got to court a man? Ooh. Who taught you that?
I believe in reciprocation.
But I ain't courting no man, though. I will reciprocate. Maybe you need a new definition, like another word. I think another word.
I stick to my roots, so.
But I think dating should be like exclusive. Like, if we're dating, you know, it's us. If we're courting, I'm just getting to know.
I don't know about that.
No.
Dating and then exclusively dating are two totally different things.
Exclusive dating is if I pop up on you and I see some, I'm popping off. But dating, I'm like, oh, hey, what's up?
So would dating and courting still be the same thing in a way?
I don't know. I'm not from the South, so I don't even know what courting is.
No, it's not. Courting is intentional dating, basically.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, I feel like it's a man that knows his role as far as how to approach a woman, treat a woman, you know, and his intentions with
like
a woman.
Actively pursuing, with good
intentions, with a pure heart. You know what I mean? So courtship is different necessarily. But I mean, if you're dating, you are dating people to get to know them, to figure out if you want to be with them or not, you know, and that sometimes it turns into romantic or platonic, whatever. But I think those are two different things. I don't think a woman should court a man.
And I don't think a lot of Black people do any of this shit.
No, they do not. That's the problem.
They don't get to know people, and that's why they be in situationships and bad situations
because it's based off lust
and the idea of being with the individual and not getting to actually know the person.
Is she cute? I need that.
See, the sign is always
because when I was younger, I was like that too. I'm not going to even lie.
Tell the truth, Shannon Bell.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being attracted, but that's the first thing you see. But don't ignore the red flag because they're cute.
Yes, of course. That's right.
Okay. We got a lot of questions. Oh God. I'm gonna ask that one last. That's one of my questions on my board. How do you think motherhood has shifted over the years from how you were raised and how you now raise your children?
That's a good one. I love it.
How do you think motherhood has shifted over the years from how you were raised and how you now raise your children?
Man, I got something to say about this one. Grandma, I have the best mom. Hey, Mama, I love you. I know you listening. That's my girl. I have the best mom ever. But it's a lot of things I took from mom and some things I didn't take from my mom. Mm-hmm. Only because my kid is different. So I have like a custom package. I go with what my baby needs. It's custom. She's different. Like, a lot of times she has my ways some ways. Mm-hmm. But for an example, I wasn't allowed to have an opinion. Mama, you know this. So you called me, tell it. You know this. Because it was like talking back. You couldn't really say how you felt. Yep. It was the law.
Yep.
But my kid, I value her opinion. So it's a respectful way that she'll tell me, well, Mom, I'm feeling this. And then we've done therapy together because we got to learn how to communicate. Yep. You know, we had like a little blockage. So she has an opinion. And her opinion is considered. It's not the law. Mine is the law. Right. But I think that's something different that I wasn't allowed to do growing up to what I allowed my child to do. I mean, my child goes to Carowinds for fun. I had to go to the fair with my brothers. Like, it's so many different things. But I think the main thing is with motherhood, it is custom. Like, every child we have is different. I know none of your kids are the same. So you have to love them different, treat them different. Right. You raise them different. You know, we're in the same house.
But my mom didn't take care of me. Like, me and my mom is 13 years apart from each other. So my mom had me very, very early.
Yeah.
And like my grandmother, that's who took care of me. That's who raised me. So I'm going to be honest with you. Everything my grandmother raised me, my brothers, like I took whatever I was taught.
Yeah.
That's what I did with my kids now. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, and that's grandma. Like,
yeah.
You know, so I just, you know, she passed it on and I do it with them. You know, whatever I was taught, that's how I take care of my kids. Like, oh, we're going to get in him. You're going to break these peas.
Yeah,
you come on in here, watch this dish dry cook, or come on in here, put this water on this pot, put this, come on in here and so I can show you how to do this, do that.
But you take everything, even the trauma. You take everything though, even the, you know, because it's things that they did back in the day that you know didn't necessarily serve us as kids or our parents necessarily. I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's just some things I'm thinking we got to leave because it didn't help us and it ain't gonna serve our babies either.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. What about y'all?
My mom did not raise me like that. So at one point, she was married to my father. Mm-hmm. He was military. We had a great life. And then somehow it was broken. Mm-hmm. She went to drugs. Mm-hmm. And so my dad had me.
How old you were?
I was very young. I was not even, I was probably elementary. And so she came and stole me from my father while he was at work. And I went to her. And, you know, he was a master degree and all of that, military base. And she was just, you know, who she was as a person. And she just, drugs was her thing. And it was because, you know, I found out when someone passed away that, you know, she was molested as a child. And that's the reason why she went to drugs. So it was a reason behind it. But, you know, I was passed around, you know. People to people and everybody watching me but her. We wishing and hoping she come home. You know, so I come from a very traumatic background.
Same with me. I was molested too.
Yeah, my grandmother raised me.
So when they I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But when they said that you know, the difference between raising, so my grandmother allowed me to go family members' houses. You know, and I was molested. But with my kids, I got this shield over them where that's why I am the way I am.
That's right.
Yep.
I tell my son.
No, you're not smiling at nobody's house. No, I don't care if it's a family member. I don't care.
If they don't like me, you're
if
not
I ain't
going.
Over there staying, you're not staying.
So that's one difference that you have.
That's my one difference. I allowed them to go anywhere.
With me, my mom wasn't an affectionate mom. So that's probably one thing different that I do with my child. I kiss on him. I hug on him all the time. Even when he tells me, Mommy, no. I still do it. But that was from her experience. You know, how she was raised, how she grew up. And it's some crazy stories that I'm not going to get into because I don't know if she want me to tell. But, yeah, she's very non-emotional. You know, she loves us in a very different way. Yeah. She shows up for us, definitely. She's a Leo, so... yes, she shows up for us definitely, but she wasn't affectionate, and I wish I did have that that feminine, you know, energy from her. But I know that it wasn't her fault. You know,
now, it was nothing that she could help. What I need to change,
mm-hmm.
I think that's what I've never got this affectionate with neither of my parents, my father, my mother, not even my grandmother. You know, I love my grandma now. Don't get me wrong, Lord rest her soul.
My nana babied me until I was 10.
That's
my girl.
I guess with that, me being so tough or whatnot, I just try to show this toughness around with my kids where I never, you know, got the hug on them and love on them. Mm-hmm. You know, I always trying to discipline, but I never got to actually do that until actually like now, I tell, like years ago, I didn't tell them I love them every day, you know, because I also was dealing with this life thing that I had going on, because I ain't no saint, you know what I'm saying? Seven years, I've been clean from cocaine.
Good
job.
You know, cocaine and alcohol. So 7 years, I ain't used it, you know. I changed my surroundings, everything, you know, so. Like now, like I tell my kids I love them, you know. We have an open bond, everything. I can talk to my girls about everything.
That's right.
It'd be some days I talk to my parents and I'll say I love you, but they'll hang up the phone before they even get a chance to say it back. But it's okay, you know.
Yeah. We're working on it.
And then, you know, now my mom, she'll call me back and be like, I love you too. Like, okay, thank you. You're typing in.
Like, if they going through something, you know, and I want to, you know, get it off your chest if you want to talk to me. You know, I'll do that. But far as like just hugging every day and all that, I've never been able to experience that.
My mom, whatever.
But I do with my grandkids.
See, that's that extension. Wait a minute, y'all. Hold on. That's that extension that you have now. You understand the grace that you gotta extend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the grandbabies get it now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a blessing that God gave you to try to get it right this time.
I hug my baby too much. She'd be like, get off of me. Like, you like the human need like 5 hugs a day. Like, it's some type of,
my son ain't.
You know, I'm always kissing, hugging on her, holding her hand. I'm all on that girl. Like, but she be fighting it, but I still do it because they're like, hug them anyways, God. They say do it anyway. So
my son will throw me a car. That boy is 6'1", 180 pounds.
Luckily, my little baby is dream mini, so she ain't crazy.
But then we have this thing in the house where, you know, when I get off work, I was working, Mom.
Yes, right.
That makes me feel good, you know. Mm-hmm. Or when they get out of school, I ask them, how was school?
I wish my mom was more affectionate, but she's not. I feel like her being a drug addict for so long, it took the affectionate away. Mm-hmm. I remember as a little girl when she was married to my father, she would tell me, I love you deeper than the ocean. And that's what kept me.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, mother is God in a child's eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think I just hold on to that. And that's the reason why I still have like a somewhat relationship with her. I feel like it could be better, but I just feel like the drugs kind of did something to her. She's just not affectionate. It just took that away. I remember it. My brother and sister will never, ever experience that, unfortunately. But I do remember her at one point. She was loving. And that's what keeps me.
Yeah.
To not cut her off, to not block her, or to not like just ignore her. Because my grandmother did raise me. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, like when we lived in Florida and Orlando, when she went through the whole divorce situation, I was this person and that person. I was molested by a woman. I was molested by a man. You know, I can go on and on with that. But, you know, I still love my mom because I remember at one point, she was very affectionate and she was very loving.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give anything to get that back. But it's just a thing where she is who she is. She's in her 60s now. So unfortunately, I don't think that I ever get that part back from her.
Yeah.
So
it's just, and somebody probably took it from her while she was out there.
Well, my grandmother went to prison. My grandmother went to prison for murdering her husband, for beating on her. We got a lot of like gambling and obsessions in our family on my mother's side. So with that being said, you know, she got tired of getting her ass whooped.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to defend herself. Jeez. And it just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
She went to prison for 6 years. I mean, for six,
I forgot how long. I think it was 6 months she went to prison. And during that time period, my mother had to stay with someone because, you know, this was back then. Mm-hmm. So the laws were different, whereas now they trying to lock you up for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she murdered her husband, mm-hmm. but it was history that he was always abusive. And we had drug issues in our family because my great-grandma ran a liquor house back in the day, mm-hmm. too. So a lot of, you know, that came from that too. So, but yeah, he would get drunk on, you know, he'll get drunk. He was a good man. He took care of the home and everything. I mean, they got a house that they own to this day. Like, we still have my grandmother's house that she owns, but, mm-hmm. you know, she just got tired. And she did it in front of her children. And that's what caused her to go mm-hmm. to drugs. Mm-hmm. And then she was, you know, they were placed while she was in prison mm-hmm. with family. And she was molested.
Yeah.
By her own family who you trust. Mm-hmm. So, it is what it is.
And I think that, like, my mom was, like, we could, like, more like, we was, like, sisters,
mm-hmm.
you know? So she didn't really know how to handle me as her being me, that she, her being my mom.
Yeah.
You know, I was a daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, it was just dipping in and out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's another reason why I've been as a woman that I am today. Like, I let, as me growing older, I let a lot of men get away with certain things because
mm-hmm.
I've been trying to fulfill with this
right.
with my father. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Like, well, it's okay, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Just keep on. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, my father, he's still alive or whatnot, and I love him to death, you know. But at the time, you know, he had a lot of little drug issues going on or whatnot, and it was just in and out of my life. Like, it was to the point that I just felt like it was okay for somebody
that's
I was
in
a...
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that is the traumatic.
And I'm glad y'all are telling these stories because I want people to hear the experiences of Black women and why we are the way we are, because we get a lot of flack and a lot of comparisons to other women in other cultures that they don't even have to consider. Like, half the stuff we go through, they have never or will never experience it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, I don't make excuses for bad behavior, but of when course, it comes to traumatic experiences as children and how we were raised and how we are experiencing life now, Black men in particular, I really need y'all to hear this, because one thing I'm sick of y'all doing is using Black women as a scapegoat to go to other races or acting as if we did something so heinous that you can't stand us now, as if we don't have shared experiences. So I really like y'all having these conversations. And one thing I also want to say to Black men is that one thing Black women have never done is abandon Black men.
Ever.
Y'all can go have y'all passport bros or whatever groups y'all got.
Right.
And go date whoever you want. But as bad as we've been treated and the things that we've experienced, we've never abandoned.
You took the word out of my mouth. Give us grace. Like, we give you grace every day.
And if you're not getting the grace, it's the women you're choosing.
It's the women you're choosing.
Choose better.
Escobar
said, as a Black man, I agree. I love my Black women. I would never.
Hello.
Thank you, Escobar.
I'm ready.
Period.
Yeah. So here's the question, because I was going to ask this at the end. I have two questions that I always ask all of my guests. But since somebody asked one of them on here, I'm going to read what they said. As a single mom, what advice would you give to the younger version of you?
Ooh, work on you for you and only for you. Because if you do it for somebody else, it's not 100% that you actually gonna get it done.
Love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you got going on, just love yourself and stay away from looking at other people's situations or what they have and, you know, things like that. Like, because back in my day, it was just TV.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have phones and social media and all of that. So
just really just loving who you are, and just working on loving you. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would have taken me way further in life, if I would have just loved myself.
Be yourself.
And be yourself, yeah.
Be yourself.
Mm-hmm. What's your advice?
I would definitely say my advice to my younger self is the process is more important than the product. And I think for me, what I've been through a lot of hard things, my family the last 3 years, and I've learned how to go through things, go through the hard things and still keep my character, my grace. Because at the end of the day, I can only check me. So I that's my main thing. It's like the process is more important because that's what makes you who you are.
Yeah.
You know, the choices that you make and why you treat people that way is your character. So stay true to you. Like she said, always be yourself. I was taught that. My mama drilled it in me.
Yeah.
be you. And like I'm so glad that she did because I don't have imposter syndrome. Like, you take it and love it. The people who for me are gonna gravitate, but it's more about the process, like your choices. And how you go through the hard things. Like, I want to sleep at night. That's my main thing. I'll apologize. Like, forgive me and whoever else needs to forgive me. So that's, like, one of my main things. And I feel like when I go through things and I take, quote, unquote, the high road, I always feel better. Like, I leave it on the table. That's fine. Because I know I did the best I could by me.
Right.
Yep. You know? So I think that's what I would tell you. Hey, little Shay.
And I never answer this question, but since I'm a single mom too, or a mom with whatever,
a single woman with a kid. Shit. Like, what are they saying these days?
Whatever they saying, I'm sorry.
They don't care.
But I would have told myself to my homegirl says this all the time. I used to laugh at her when she said it because she was being silly, but it's true. Make good choices. Make good choices, don't let anybody influence your choices.
Yes.
If it feels like it's supposed to be for you, it's for you. Like, don't. Right. And if it don't feel right, don't do it.
No.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Amen.
It'll never lie. Your intuition will never lie to you. It won't steer you wrong.
Trust the gut, ladies.
Yeah.
Trust the gut.
Please. Or as they say, the first mind. That first mind.
Trust yourself.
Good choices.
Yeah, make good choices. Kamika said, thank you all for your transparency.
That's my best friend. Hey, best friend. I love you, girl. That's my village, y'all. That's part of my village.
And my last question, what is some of the best advice you've ever received?
Taking accountability.
That's a good one.
If it's to be, it's up to me. Thank you, Coach Calvin.
They have to challenge. Like, I fight with myself. Listen, battling demons is
spiritual warfare,
even just battling yourself, like literally doing shadow work on yourself. That's all I can say. Accountability has been the toughest, roughest thing I ever had to experience and take accountability for myself and my actions, even down to when I was married, even down to my whole past and everything to now. Like, accountability is the biggest thing, the best advice I've ever in my life received. And the fact that Black men also know their worth, and when you're dealing with a Black man who know their worth, they're not going to put up with all
that. I love those kind.
Some of them won't even allow you to call them new. So,
listen. I don't hear me. That's my favorite word.
I am so thankful for my best friend who is a life. Oh, shout out to Vaughn. Shout out to him. Because he has taught me so much when it comes to accountability.
And that's one of the biggest complaints from Black men is that they think women don't take accountability.
I gotta do it first.
I'm very submissive. Yeah. I take it.
And a lot of women don't. And I'll be like,
and I had to learn.
You're crazy, you sound.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I know a lot of crazy women out there. I thought, all the women are like you. Until I got divorced, I was like, oh, most women like me. They're like, girl, no, they got, I didn't know. It's news to me.
Yeah, Lord,
you got a lot of women that say, it's your fault. It's your fault.
Yeah, they blame everybody.
But I think the best advice I received when I was in middle school, I used to run like summer track and indoor track. And I had some of the best coaches around.
But they would make us repeat affirmations. I didn't even know I was doing this stuff, I was doing it. And we like do our drills, and we'd be like, if it's to be, it's up to me. Mm-hmm. And I tell myself that, I tell my kid that, because I can do anything.
Yes,
so
indeed.
If I want something, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to grab it. I'm going to work my way. I don't take no for an answer.
Right.
So I think that's the best advice I've ever received, because that has stuck with me since I've been in like sixth, seventh grade. I say it all the time. Like I used to write on sticky notes, because if it's to be, it's up to me.
Yeah. Well,
yes, indeed. What about you?
I would say you are your biggest competition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Self-sabotaging anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You can only be greater than what you were before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, young
everybody got
it. I got old parents, okay? My dad's 72, so. My mama in her 60s.
Shut
yes,
up.
I am.
Are you serious?
Yes,
that's
yes,
how my
yes.
old situation is as well. My mom is in her 60s, my dad is in his 70s.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Wow. That's yeah. what I want to be.
You know what?
I want to be old mama.
I'm more for understand this question.
I didn't really like having old parents. I used to hate having old parents. Like, oh my gosh,
girl, that's the.
But now, as I'm like this age, I'm like, I honestly do cherish it, because they taught me a lot that other parents don't teach people my age now. Like,
they have
like
so much life experience.
Yes,
you a good
grandma.
Yep.
Okay,
right.
For real. And don't let nobody tell you different.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I swear, honey, my head be flying like a chicken.
Keeping you moving and mobile. As long as you're moving.
Right.
Head.
That's why they can look like that.
And
okay.
I like that, because, like, I want to stay young.
Yeah.
No matter what age I get up, I still want to stay.
That's
young.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so they keep me going. You know, even at 5-year-old. Yeah, my 5-year-old, she has like ADHD.
I think I have that. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah.
You've been sat here all this time. You ain't got no ADHD.
No, but it's more so like mental ADHD than it is like physical. Because
anxiety.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I got a master's degree in psychology and counseling, so full transparency.
Okay. Ooh,
yeah, she has that and heart failure, but honey,
goodness,
homegirl, she gets me. Oh God, I'll be like miracle, miracle, miracle. You know, and that's my miracle baby, but she kept me all over the house.
This Breaking the Silence podcast with Nikki Nicole says, this is such a great conversation. Thanks for this.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Y'all, I got some great panel.
Yay. This is fun, y'all.
I appreciate
y'all. To be here. Yes.
Y'all are just really amazing people. Seriously, y'all was all nervous. I'm gonna be nervous.
Bro, I was talking. I bet you wasn't nervous.
I was so nervous.
You used to rap.
So you know, I was so nervous.
Yeah. Well, this is a part of the show where I let my guests shout out whatever business you have, show people how to follow you on social media, whatever you need to, if you got any events coming up, promote it, let the folks know. Whoever want to go first, it's on you. Y'all camera right there.
Right here?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, this is Fleetus Realtor. So I do want to shout out my real estate firm, BG Lux Realty, and it is owned by my broker in charge, Bree Gaither. That's how I actually found out about your show. She sent it to me. And so thank you, Bree. I really appreciate it. It's always good to have people mentioning your rooms and names you're not in. So I always appreciate that. And shout out to Aaliyah, the Sculpty Realtor, and Alicia. She's the DIY queen. These are people on my team, and I'm the Swedish Realtor. But we actually have our grand opening this Friday at Museum Tower. So if you guys want to come, you should come. We're going to celebrate being the woman Black-owned firm in Charlotte, because we're taking up space.
Okay.
All right. And we're creating space for ourselves. And so, and that's from first-time home buyers to luxury market to commercial. So just shout out to my team, man. Shout out to my family. I love my family. Y'all ain't gonna be going. My friends and my family in Charlotte. But if you ever need a house or commercial space or just want to know how to get started, like, please contact me. I'm the Swedish Realtor on Instagram and Facebook, TikTok. But at this point, I'm really about helping our community and just providing a solid experience, because we all deserve a luxury experience, no matter what. You know, so I'm client-based. I care about what my clients need, what they want. So, yeah, And thank you for having me, Corqueen. I really appreciate it.
Same here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing me here to tell my story.
Absolutely.
And shout out to my kids. Josephine. Yeah.
Oh, that was one
shout out to her too. shout out to my kids, my grandkids or whatnot. Shout out to my dad. I know he's looking or whatnot. Still love you. No matter what, still love you. Shout out to my sister Tavia. Yes, because I know she said she was watching too. I want to thank you for calling me, keeping me updated, making sure I'm good and I'm holding on and I'm staying strong or whatnot. And yep, I'm having a food truck coming out in March.
Okay.
Good job. So it will be called, it's going to be by my grandmother, which is, it's called Emma's Delight, Heavenly Delights.
Oh,
I like that.
So yeah. So
congratulations.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, but
okay.
Thank you for the support. Everybody that came out to look on my page on Facebook and IG. Just to hear our story. Let's sing along.
Absolutely. Good stuff.
All right. So I'm Chink, C-H-I-N-K. Y'all can follow me on Facebook. My name is Chink Saponi, C-H-I-N-K-S-A-P-O-N-I, Chink Saponi. And also, I wanted to discuss my future local reality show, which is called Charlotte Elites. You can follow the YouTube. It is not all the way up, but it is up where you can go ahead and subscribe. It is charlotteelights434@gmail.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram, which is chink, C-H-I-N-K underscore 84. So with Charlotte Elights, this is a walking podcast, which is a local reality show for Charlotte to place all Black bosses of Charlotte and all Black entrepreneurs on Charlotte. We are trying to create a platform to get all of our local Charlotte entrepreneurs and bosses to, well, basically we're giving them a platform for them to produce their businesses and to just give us their outlook on their businesses. So we're trying to put Charlotte on the map because Charlotte is not on the map like it should be. We are very underrated, a very underrated city, and a lot of celebrities do come to Charlotte and visit. So we're trying to create a platform for Charlotte entrepreneurs and Black bosses who is really getting to the bread, really getting to the money, whether it's small businesses or big businesses, no matter what you're doing in life, we are definitely trying to give you guys a platform to gain more followers, more exposure, you know, so that's what we're doing. So I got me and my two best friends. We have a lot of interviews already set up. And I say that go ahead and ring that bell on the subscription because we will be giving out notifications soon within about a month or two. So we will be up and running by then. I can't give a correct date right now, so I don't want to say a date, but definitely within a month or two, we will be out and popping. We're trying to get Charlotte popping this year.
Let's go.
Yes, yes, yes. And finally. No. If you guys have any nail needs as far as services or courses, you can follow me at The Real Nail Goddess, or you can follow my personal page, Trend the Brand, because I am the walking brand. I love nail health, luxury nail, quality nail, anything dealing with good nail care and combining community and luxury and wholeness, cleanness, holisticness. A lot of people don't know that nails and health goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Your nail tech should be able to determine what type of ailments you have inside your body so that you can take that back to your doctor. If you don't, you need to find another nail tech, because if she can't tell you you have low iron, if she can't tell you you are developing diabetes, you don't need to be sitting in their chair, man or woman, honestly. Okay. I do give herbal manicures. So if you look for that, yes, gel is included. Yeah. The website is www.therealnailgoddess.com.
Yes.
Tapping, guys. Thanks.
I love it.
Yes, yes. We do pedicures, all of that. I know most nail techs don't, but yes, we do pedicures, manicures. We do acrylic. We do, I'm not into Gel X, so for my Gel X girlies, no, but I do. Yeah, sculpting, acrylic manicures, gel manicures, gel pedicures.
Real nail tech.
Yes. Okay.
The most important I've ever met.
Really?
Right.
Yes.
I mean, yeah,
That's the first thing you learn in nail school. And I taught myself how to do nails. 2018 is when I went off to college. And when I actually took myself to school and realized, like, it's more than just the nail designs. It's more than just laying acrylic. It kind of changed my perspective of what the nail industry had to offer.
Because people with diabetes are not really supposed to get...
Who are pregnant, you're not supposed to get pedicures, because if they touch the wrong pressure point, you can be sent into early labor. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that.
See, I love the
fungus. Yes, it goes hand in hand. But I like... I like to add the herbs to my manicures because just relaxation, detoxing, anything like that. The biggest organ is your skin.
That's right.
But also the biggest organ to detox is your feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your feet touch the ground, the sole of your feet. That's why I call it your soul, because it's connected to the sole of your body.
That's right.
Everything's connected in some type of way.
Well, I appreciate y'all for coming out here today. I couldn't have asked for a better panel. None of us knew each other. This is just, it's always divine timing and divine connection. So I appreciate that, y'all. So I hope to be able to have y'all back again on another show, you know, maybe individually, so I can talk to you guys one-on-one and get to know your stories a little bit better. So, but y'all know who I am. I'm the core queen. And I help individuals lose weight, get in amazing shape without starving yourself or spending hours a day in the gym. So if you need me to help you unbig your back, you know what to do. Hit your girl up. Core Queen on all platforms. Didi Leggett. You can Google me. You'll find me. We'll be here next week again. Same time, same place. I need y'all to do me a favor. Go out there. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Hit the notification bell. Like the video. Leave a comment. Share it with your people. Let them know about the Core Queen podcast. And we will be back next week. We out, y'all.
Bye, y'all. Bye.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.